Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is a time that we set aside to hear from the Lord as He speaks from the heart. Every conversation the Lord has ever had was from His heart. The Lord is very serious about His love towards us all. And His redemption is so great. The Lord loves us. I can't say that enough. Because of His great and vast love for us, towards us, we're enabled to do great things. He gave us the same wisdom and logic that He uses to create the universe. Remember, everything God does is in seed form. It begins that way, but it ends up as heaven. He even explained that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest seeds among herbs, but it becomes the greatest bush. It's the smallest seeds of an herb, but it becomes so big that the birds of the air can lodge under the shadow of it. It starts off small and becomes great. Jesus gave us an example of how He do things. I stated in a few broadcasts ago that when a man gets saved, he believes on Jesus from his heart. He gets saved. A healing process has begun in him. It was introduced to him in seed form. His spirit man, the part you can't see, is made whole. It's brand new. Brand new creation of God. In his heart, in his spirit, he does not desire any form of sin. He can desire sin, but because his sin nature, because the blood of Jesus washed his sins away, God gave him a brand new spirit. Sin has no power over him anymore. And if he wants to, he can receive God's word, and a greater healing process begins. And as he received the word of God, that greater process grows and grows. And the word of God will help him renew his mind. And once his mind is renewed, he starts appearing. The redemption that was done in him, it appears to people in a greater way. And we need to, as we go forward in the Lord, we grow, we change, and we heal. That healing process, it continues. As his mind is renewed with the word of God, and he sees things from a God's eye view as he studies the word of God. His spirit man is being made stronger. It's already brand new if he believed on Jesus Christ. And then the word will help him renew his mind. And now you got two against one. The body's still the same. It desires the same things. You know, a man got he got saved, and J. Vernon McGee used to come on the radio. He said that the wino said, "Well, I got saved, but I still got the same stomach. His stomach still desired wine and whiskey." But as he renewed his mind with the word of God, he can speak the will of God in his life. He can say, "I hate wine, whiskey, beer, whatever it is that's got him in trouble." And his desire for those things will start leaving him as he speak in faith. See, nothing in this world can stand against your faith. Your spoken words of faith changes the facts in your body. They change the facts on the ground where you are. They change the facts in your life. And you can speak to your future and change the facts in your future. You can shape your destiny according to the perfect will of God. But the enemy has hindered the church from exposing these truths to mankind and living the life of God. But what we're going to do, we're going to let people know that God is. And He's a great rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Lord loves us. His love is not. He didn't act on love in a corner. He did it out openly and boldly. He does things out in the open. He's not afraid as men are afraid. His love is just as tough as he is. So considering these things, the potential that God has himself is what he gave us. But it came in the form of his spoken word. Everything God does, he speaks it. That starts to change the destiny. Now, just because you have good intentions and you want to do things, most things in your life is not going to change, and they won't grow much until you say what God said. When you speak with your mouth, that's why when you confess that Jesus is Lord with your mouth, and it gets in your heart even deeper. When you hear yourself reading the Word of God, that Word gets in your heart even stronger. It's amazing to me. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, we've been dealing with the fact that, you know, God has been, he's showing us what to watch out for in these broadcasts. The persuasion of Christ, you know, in Philippians said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When the contrast, the Lord had me contrasting what Lucifer said and what Jesus did. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Now, he's God. He came as a man. He's the Word of God. He was far above all principality and powers. He's the King of kings. He is the King of all kings. The Son of God, the Word of God. He is God. And he came to represent the Father to us. Now, you can't put all of God in one man, so we can understand Father and Son relationship. And he became a man. And he's going to be a man forever. He's, you know, his body is real. He's a real man. He'll never stop being. Jesus will never stop being a man. Because he's going to reign here, Daniel said, forever. So if he's going to reign here forever, he's going to be a man forever. That's the way, that's what he decided to do. So that's the way it is. Now, I love God. I thank him for all that he does. He did it for us. He's not ashamed to be a man. But we're focusing on the mind of Christ versus the mind of Lucifer. The mind of Christ is light. Now, Lucifer was a light bearer. That was his name. But he went against the order of God. Totally. He went against the total order of God and became Satan. So we can't use his tactics in the ministry to be to represent God. We can't represent God if we acting like his enemy, Satan. Now, so what happened was the church was so powerful that it turned the world upside down. A few men, 12 disciples, 120 were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues exactly like Jesus said they would. Now, they turned the world upside down. And they were on earth. These 12 disciples represented the heart of God. And the 120 were their witnesses. And they all did the work of God in unique ways. They did what nobody has ever done before. They did more than any prophet. Jesus said there was no prophet greater than John the Baptist. And the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. So the least apostle was greater than John the Baptist. The least, not just the least apostle, but the least Christian. God made every one of his people kings and also priests. We are designed by God to represent God to all men. And it starts with the healing process that begins within us. So if we're going to grow, we grow according to the mind of Christ, the Word of God. But what has happened when the apostles died out, the church was infiltrated with filthiness. And that's what we're going to study now. Because if you don't understand what happened, and the Word of God, this is not new, but people have read over it for years. And let's look at Second Peter first. I'm going to go with it first because, Lord, that's the scripture he gave me first. And then, if we don't run out of time, we're going to look at Second Timothy chapter 4. All right. Last time we looked at Second Peter chapter 1. And we stopped around verse 10. I'm going to start at verse 8. And we're going to go on towards and finish chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. He said, "For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will have the mind of Christ, and we won't be barren. We won't be sterile to the life of God. Verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." So people that are afraid to backslide, stay in chapter 1 till you get it. Speak it, read it, receive it, speak it, confess it, and make it true in your life. Speak it, and you will never fall. And don't fear falling. When the Lord told me that, a new concept hit me, and I knew what to do. I looked at everything different. I didn't look at sin as being bigger than me, even though I was, Jesus' blood washed it away, and it had no power over me. But when he said, "Don't fear falling," all I saw it. I saw something. I don't have to be subject to any form of sin. And I don't have to, I'm complete in Christ. I don't need nothing out there in the wide world to help me be better. Not even money. I have the Word of God in my heart. I have the Holy Spirit that guides me and manifests himself in seven ways. I'm complete in him. I have the peace of God. And as I do his will, my joy increases. What more can I need? And everything else is a bonus. All the possessions that I enjoy is a bonus. Whatever I do in this life is just a bonus. I thank God for it. I don't need ministry to appear successful. I'm successful because I was made successful by the blood of Jesus. I don't need the praise of men. If I can just wash my brother's feet, if I can remain in the love of God, I don't need props and crutches. So I have great courage. And I don't need for people to look up to me. I don't have that desire or need. I thank God for what he's done. I thank people for what they do. I thank people for their help. But if I ever had to stand alone, and sometimes you do have to stand alone, especially if you're pioneering the move of God. If you're doing something that God gave you to do, sometimes you're going to stand alone. Even with people trying to discourage you. But you're complete in him. So stand and go forward. All right, verse 11. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I can say truly, amen. God loves us. Sending the Holy Spirit to us, it just shows the heart of God. He's not ashamed of us. He loves us. And we did some wicked things. We ran from the Lord. We were rebellious. Isaiah said, every man turned his face as if Jesus was a crook, because they didn't know. And he still died for us. And his mercy was still greater than our rebellion. And he didn't give up on us. So I'm not going to give up on what he gave me to do. I love God. I can't pay him back. And I'm glad he's my God. I'm glad I'm his child. I'm glad I'm his son. I'm glad I'm his creation. And I want to honor him with all that I have. All of my spirit, man. All of my heart. All of my mind. All of my strength. But if I can do it, I want it done. And I speak it in case I one day have a mind to fail. I speak it. I don't trust my strength. I trust his. So I speak his will in my life. And I believe in that. I know what he can do if we can yield. And the enemy is trying to attack our ability to yield to the Lord. It's not a secret. He's crazy. But he's not going to defeat me, and I'm not afraid of him. And I'm not afraid of his sin. I'm not afraid of his ways. And I totally reject every form of pride, all lust, and all greed. And I hate it. And I will always say I hate it. And every time I say I hate it even more than I did before I said I hate it. Now, chapter 2 helps us to see some things that's true. Now, this is Peter about to die. He was about to go on and be with the Lord. He's an old man now. And he did what God gave him to do. So these last two chapters in Peter, these are his last messages. Now, he's warning us about something that's coming down the pike. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." See, when the apostles reigned, when they were on earth, they did reign as kings. When they were on earth, they kept the devil at bay because they preached God's word. They did a lot of teaching. They did more teaching than prophesying. You don't see many times where they prophesied as much as they teach, as they talk. So the devil, he copies what people see the most. Prophecy was usually done among those who are the most faithful. The most mature people and the most faithful, that's who receives most prophecy. Now, the masses of people, they receive less prophecy than those that love God. So the false prophets are not going to, they usually wasn't there when prophecy went forward. Because only, the Lord knows, he gives the heart of his will to people who love him the most. They receive more prophecy than people out in the open. You know, the in the wide world. But so, in other words, in the areas where people were that had a mind to be wrong, the Pharisees and people like that, God didn't send them prophecy. He taught them in parables. They received more teaching than prophecy. That's why he said there should be false teachers among you. You know, the Holy Ghost is wise. He'll show you things if you pay attention to him. And watch what they do. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. So that means that they did believe, they were Christians, they partook of the faith that we enjoy. They were washed in the blood because it said the Lord bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They turned. Where did they turn? They turned in their heart, like I've been talking about the last few broadcasts. People can get saved and they can turn on God. They can go back to the world. Don't be surprised at it. It happens more often than not. there are more false prophets than true ones. Back in the early 90s, the Lord said for every one true prophet in Alabama, there were five false ones. That's a lot. Texas had, and he gave me different states. And usually it was in the Bible Belt. Florida had the most. And Texas, he said that for every three true prophets, there's one false prophet. There's less false prophets in Texas among preachers. I'm talking about preachers. False. Now that was back then. I don't know what the numbers are now. If he tell me again and move on me to say it, I will. But one day he brought that to me. That was one I didn't know to think about something like that. But he always teach me about the condition of the church because he called me to be an apostle. Now, so the enemy, there are false teachers who come in privately among God's people, and they teach lies. That's what I said, Lord, what's your definition of a false prophet? He said, a prophet that don't teach the truth. I guess that's plain enough. He said in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Sounds like our modern newspapers and TV shows. Verse 3, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now that is one long run-on sentence. You know, when I went to college, when I had to write, I read the Bible so much that the Bible is full of run-on sentences. And I had the hardest time putting a period at the end of a thought. And one day that was a guy who was, he was fresh out of high school, and all the rules of English was fresh on his mind. I had been out of school a while. And I saw him put a period at the end of a sentence, and it was short. And the whole, it just, what I was taught in high school and elementary, it just came back. The Holy Spirit brought it back. Now, from verse 4 to verse 9, that's a long, I mean, verse 10, that's a long run-on sentence. But it's very true. One sentence says it all. In your study time, read it again. There's a doctrine out there that say once saved, always saved. All right, that's true if you stay in the love of God and you don't go back to the world. Now, Lucifer was designed by God with perfect intention to live forever. But when he became an enemy, and death worked in him. If you don't want to live forever, you can turn. You can always go back to the world if that's what you want. I don't want that. So I got saved and I stay saved. And I endeavor to grow so I can be more like God and less like Satan. And I want to grow to the point that I operate like God. I want to do and be the Father's will. I want to be like Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I want my faith to be finished. My salvation is forever. And I hate the rudiments of the world, the lies of the world, Satan's doctrine. And I despise being like him in any form, from my heart, from my mind. And I don't even want to desire nothing that's not of God. And I know sin is here. And I know I can desire wrong things, but I do something about it. I can speak that I hate it, and it can be real for me in God's eyes. And that's what I'm after. Now, these men were not like that. He said, if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And then he spared not the old world. Out of several billion people that was alive when in Noah's day, 8 people got saved. And it said Noah was the 8th. Now he had the vision to make the ark. And he did all that God said do, according to Genesis 6 and 7 and 8. He did everything. He didn't fail. And it said that it called him the 8th person, I believe. Now I'm not sure, but it may be because he was the last person to get on the ark. You know, being a man, he let his family get on first. I guess that's why he said that. But save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The first thing God did was made a division from light and darkness. When he got rid of that, that was the first thing he did. The Holy Spirit hovered over the icy waters because the earth had been turned upside down. It was flooded, but it was in and out of water. Not like in Noah's flood, there was no land visible. It was 15 cubits over the highest mountain. Now, in this flood, this was Lucifer's flood. He got destroyed. God destroyed Lucifer's kingdom. It was here on earth. And there's evidence that he'd been here. The pyramids and all these crazy structures all over the world. That was done before God made man. Now, when the Lord did this, the first thing the action he took beside the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters, he said, let there be light. And he made a distinction from what was true from what was false. And when he said, let there be light, you could see the destruction for what it was. And his will began, and he started a healing process on the earth. So when we get saved, there's light, and a healing process begins in us, and it's understandable, and it's noticeable. A change is in you. And when people first get saved, they're like a baby. They got all their limbs and faculties, but they don't know how to use them yet. So when people get saved, they do good things, and they may fall, they may say words they shouldn't say, but their intentions are always pure, and it's noticeable. As time goes on and they study the word, they get stronger and stronger, just like a child. He goes from crawling on the floor, rolling on the floor, to crawling, to walking, to running around, to being an athlete in high school, and then college, and then professional. We grow. So does the kingdom of God. And people say, well, if you don't grow in one day, nothing of God grows in one day. It has a process. Even a peach has to grow. It starts as a bud, and then it becomes a peach, and you can eat it. Everything of God grows. It goes through the process of life and gets greater. So the Lord has to do something about this. When people decide of their own free will to turn their heart back to the world, then it puts God in a position where he has to do something about it. All right. So God didn't spare the angels. He didn't spare the men on earth when Noah had built that ark. He didn't spare them. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So he will do something about it when the church get infiltrated, which it did. Alright, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They are not afraid to change God's word. They are not afraid to grieve the Holy Ghost. They don't care nothing about grieving the Holy Ghost. They'll reroute the whole service when the Lord is moving by His Spirit. It's normal for them to grieve the Holy Ghost. They don't care about that. They care about what they're after. They want fame and fortune, greed and lust, pride. They're pride driven. He said, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken. Watch this. Now these are people who once believed, but they went back to the world. I'm going to blow that once saved, always ship right out of the water. He said, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Now they went from being saved to cursed. We're out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to